The Pilgrim's Progress, Introduction, and Chapter 1. Introduction. The Pilgrim's Progress has been printed, read, and translated more often than any book other than the Bible. People of all ages have found delight in the simple, earnest story of Christian the Pilgrim. The events seem lifelike. They follow each other rapidly and consistently. John Bunyan was born in 1628 in the village of Elstow, England. His father was a tinker, a lowly occupation. Nevertheless, his father sent him to school to learn both to read and write. In 1647, Bunyan married an orphan who was a praying Christian. She led her husband to the Lord, and he was baptized. Bunyan soon began to preach, but was arrested and thrown into prison for preaching without receiving permission from the established church. He remained there for 12 years, during which time he wrote this book. The reading of The Pilgrim's Progress can be not only a pleasurable experience, but a life-changing one as well. The Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. As I walked through the wilderness of this world, I lighted on a certain place where there was a den, and I laid me down in that place to sleep. And as I slept, I dreamed a dream. I dreamed, and behold, I saw a man clothed with rags, standing in a certain place with his face from his own house, a book in his hand, and a great burden upon his back. I looked and saw him open the book and read therein. And as he read, he wept and trembled. And not being able any longer to contain, he broke out with a lamentable cry, saying, "What shall I do?" In this plight, therefore, he went home and refrained himself as long as he could, that his wife and children should not perceive his distress. But he could not be silent long, because that his trouble increased. Wherefore at length he broke out his mind to his wife and children, and thus he began to talk to them. "Oh, my dear wife," said he, "and you the children of my bowels, I, your dear friend, am in myself undone by reason of a burden that lieth hard upon me. Moreover, I am for certain informed that this our city will be burned with fire from heaven, in which fearful overthrow both myself with thee, my wife, and with you, my sweet babes, shall miserably come to ruin, except the which yet I see not, some way of escape may be found, whereby we may be delivered." At this his relations were sore amazed, not for that they believed that what he had said to them was true, but because they thought that some frenzied distemper had got into his head. Therefore, it drawing toward night, and they hoping that sleep might settle his brains, with all haste they got into bed. But the night was as troublesome to him as the day. Wherefore, instead of sleeping, he spent it in sighs and tears. So when the morning was come, they would know how he did. He told them worse and worse. He also set to talking to them again, but they began to be hardened. They also thought to drive away his distemper by harsh and surly carriages to him. Sometimes they would deride, sometimes they would chide, sometimes they would quite neglect him. Wherefore he began to retire himself to his chamber to pray for and pity them, and also to condole his own misery. He would also walk solitary in the fields, sometimes reading, sometimes praying, and thus for some days he spent his time. Now I saw upon a time when he was walking in the fields that he was, as he was wont, reading in his book, and greatly distressed in his mind. And as he read, he burst out, and as he had done before, crying, "What shall I do to be saved?" I saw also that he looked this way and that way, as if he would run. Yet he stood still, because, as I perceived, he could not tell which way to go. I looked then and saw a man named Evangelist coming to him, and asked, "Wherefore dost thou cry?" He answered, "Sir, I perceive by the book in my hand that I am condemned to die, and after that to come to judgment. And I find I am not willing to do the first, nor able to do the second." Then said Evangelist, "Why not willing to die, since this life is attended with so many evils?" The man answered, "Because I fear that this burden that is upon my back will sink me lower than the grave, and I shall fall into Tophet. And, sir, if I be not fit to go to prison, I am not fit to go to judgment, and from thence to execution, and the thoughts of these things make me cry." Then said Evangelist, "If this be thy condition, why standest thou still?" He answered, "Because I know not whether to go." Then he gave him a parchment roll, and there was written within, "Fly from the wrath to come." The man therefore read it, and looking upon Evangelist very carefully, said, "Whither must I fly?" Then said Evangelist, pointing with his finger over a very wide field, "Do you see yonder wicket gate?" The man said, "No." Then said the other, "Do you see yonder shining light?" He said, "Well, I think I do." Then said Evangelist, "Keep that light in your eye, and go up directly thereto, so that shall you see the gate, at which, when you knock, it shall be told thee what thou shalt do." So I saw in my dream that the man began to run. Now he had not run far from his own door, but his wife and children, perceiving it, began to cry after him to return. But the man put his fingers in his ears and ran on crying, "Life! Life! Eternal life!" So he looked not behind him, but fled toward the middle of the plain. The neighbors also came out to see him run, and as he ran, some mocked, others threatened, and some cried after him to return. Now among those that did so, there were two that were resolved to fetch him back by force. The name of the one was Obstinate, and the name of the other, Pliable. Now by this time the man was got a good distance from them, which they did, and in a little time they overtook him. Then said the man, "Neighbors, wherefore are you come?" And they said, "To persuade you to go back with us." But he said, "That can by no means be. You dwell," said he, "in the city of destruction, the place also where I was born. I see it to be so. And dying there sooner or later, you will sink lower than the grave into a place that burns with fire and brimstone. Be content, good neighbors, and go along with me." "What?" said Obstinate, "and leave our friends and our comforts behind us?" "Yes," said Christian, for that was his name, "because all that which you shall forsake is not worthy to be compared with a little of that I am seeking to enjoy. And if you will go along with me and hold it, you shall fare as I myself, for there where I go is enough and to spare. Come away and prove my words." Obstinate said, "What are the things you seek, since you leave all the world to find them?" "I seek an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, and it is laid up in heaven, safe there, to be bestowed at the time appointed on them that diligently seek it. Read it so, if you will, in my book." "Tush," said Obstinate, "away with your book. Will you go back with us or no?" "No, not I," said the other, "because I have laid my hand to the plow." Obstinate said, "Come then, neighbor Pliable, let us turn again and go home without him. There is a company of these crazed-headed crazies that when they take a fancy by the end are wiser in their own eyes than seven men that can render a reason." Then said Pliable, "Don't revile. If what the good Christian says is true, the things he looks after are better than ours. My heart inclines to go with my neighbor." "What? More fools still? Be ruled by me and go back. Who knows whither such a brain-sick fellow will lead you? Go back, and be wise." Christian said, "Nay, but do thou come with me, neighbor Pliable. There are such things to be had, of which I spoke, and many more glories besides. If you believe not me, read here in this book. For the truth of what is expressed therein, behold, all is confirmed by the blood of him that made it." "Well, neighbor Obstinate," said Pliable, "I began to come to a point. I intend to go with this good man, and to cast my lot with him. But, my good companion, do you know the way to this desired place?" Christian said, "I am directed by a man whose name is Evangelist to speed me to a little gate that is before us, where we shall receive instructions about the way." Pliable said, "Come then, good neighbor, let us be going." Then they went both together. "And I will go back to my place," saith Obstinate. "I will be no companion of such misled, fantastical fellows." Now I saw in my dream that when Obstinate was gone back, Christian and Pliable went talking over the plain, and thus they began their discourse. Christian said, "Come, neighbor Pliable, how do you do? I am glad you are persuaded to go along with me." And had even Obstinate himself but felt that I have felt of the powers and terrors of what is yet unseen, he would not thus lightly have given us the back. "Come, neighbor Christian, since there are none but us two here, tell me now further what the things are, and how to be enjoyed whether we are going." Christian said, "I can better conceive of them in my mind than speak of them with my tongue. But yet, since you are desirous to know, I will read of them in my book." "And do you think that the words of your book are certainly true?" "Oh, yes, verily, for it was made by him that cannot lie." Well, then, what things are they? Well, there is an endless kingdom to be inhabited, and everlasting life to be given us, that we may inhabit that kingdom forever. Well said. And what else? Said Pliable. Well, there are crowns of glory to be given to us, and garments that will make us shine like the sun in the firmament of heaven. Well, this is very pleasant. What else? Said Pliable. There shall be no more crying, nor sorrow, for he that is owner of the place will wipe all tears from our eyes. And what company shall we have there? Well, said Christian, there we shall be with seraphims and cherubims and creatures that will dazzle your eyes to look at them. There also you shall meet with thousands and ten thousands that have gone before us to that place. None of them are hurtful, but loving and holy, everyone walking in the sight of God and standing in his presence with acceptance forever. In a word, there we shall see the elders with their golden crowns. There we shall see the holy virgins with their golden harp. There we shall see men that by the world were cut in pieces, burnt in flames, eaten of beasts, drowned in the seas, for the love that they bear to the Lord of the place. Well, all well and clothed with immortality as with a garment. Pliable said, the hearing of this is enough to ravish one's heart. But are these things to be enjoyed? How shall we get to be sharers thereof? Christian said, the governor of the country hath recorded in this book the substance of which is, if we will be truly willing to have it, he will bestow it upon us freely. Pliable said, well, my good companion, glad I am to hear of these things. Come on, let us mend our pace. I cannot go so fast as I would, said Christian, by reason of this burden that is on my back. Now I saw in my dream that just as they had ended this talk, they drew nigh to a very miry slough that was in the midst of the plain, and they, being heedless, did both fall suddenly into the bog. The name of the slough was Despond. Here, therefore, they wallowed for a time, being grievously bedaubed with the dirt, and Christian, because of the burden that was on his back, began to sink in the mire. Then said Pliable, ah, neighbor Christian, where are you now? Truly, said Christian, I do not know. At that Pliable began to be offended, and angrily said to his fellow, is this the happiness you have told me all this while of? If we have such ill speed at our first setting out, what may we expect between this and our journey's end? May I get out again with my life? You shall possess the brave country alone for me. And with that he gave a desperate struggle or two, and got out of the mire on that side of the slough which was next to his own house. So away he went, and Christian saw him no more. Wherefore Christian was left to tumble in the slough of Despond alone. But still he endeavored to struggle to that side of the slough that was still further from his own house, and next to the wicket gate, the which he did, but could not get out because of the burden that was upon his back. But I beheld in my dream that a man came to him, whose name was Help, and asked him, what are you doing here? Well, sir, said Christian, I was directed this way by a man called Evangelist, who directed me also to yonder gate that I might escape the wrath to come. And as I was going thither, I fell in here. Help said, but why did you not look for the steps? Well, fear followed me so hard that I fled the next way and fell in. Then said Help, give me thy hand. So he gave him his hand, and he drew him out and set him upon the sound ground, and bid him to go on his way. Then I stepped to him that plucked him out, and said, sir, wherefore, since this place is the way from the city of destruction to yonder gate, is it that this plat is not mended, that poor travelers might go thither with more security? And he said unto me, well, this miry slough is such a place as cannot be mended. It is the descent whether the scum and filth that attends conviction for sin doth continually run, and therefore it is called the Slough of Despond. For still as the sinner is awakened about his lost condition, there arises in his soul many fears and doubts and discouraging apprehensions, which all of them get together and settle in this place. And this is the reason for the badness of this ground. It is not the pleasure of the king that this place should remain so bad. His laborers also have, by the direction of His Majesty's surveyors, been for above this 1,600 years employed about this patch of ground, if perhaps it might have been mended. Yes, and to my knowledge, said he, there hath been swallowed up here at least 20,000 cartloads, yea, millions of wholesome instructions that have all seasons been brought from all places of the king's dominion. And they can tell, say, they are the best materials to make good ground of the place. If so be, it might have been mended. But it is the sloth of despond still, and so will be when they have done what they can. Two, there are directions of the lawgiver, certain good and substantial steps placed even through the very midst of this sloth. But at such time as this place doth spew out its filth, as it doth against change of weather, these steps are hardly seen. Or if they be, men through the dizziness of their heads step beside, and then they are bemired to purpose, notwithstanding the steps be there. But the ground is good once they got in at the gate. Now I saw in my dream, by this time Pliable was got home to his house again. So his neighbors came to visit him, and some of them called him wise man for coming back, and some called him fool for hazarding himself with Christian. Others again did mock at his cowardliness, saying, surely since you began to venture, I would not have been so base as to have given out for a few difficulties. So Pliable sat sneaking among them. But at last he got more confidence, and then they all turned their tails and began to deride poor Christian behind his back, and thus much concerning Pliable. Now, as Christian was walking solitary by himself, he espied one far off coming crossing over the field to meet him, and their hap was to meet just as they were crossing the way of each other. The gentleman's name that met him was Mr. Worldly Wiseman. He dwelt in the town of Carnal Policy, a very great town, and also hard by from where Christian came. And this man then, meeting with Christian and having some inkling of him, for Christian setting forth from the city of destruction was much noised abroad, not only in the town where he dwelt, but also it began to be the town talk in some other places. Master Worldly Wiseman therefore began having some guess of him by beholding his laborious going, by observing his sighs and groans and the like, began thus to enter into some talk with Christian. He said, how now, good fellow, whither away after this burden manner? Christian said, a burden manner indeed, as ever, I think, poor creature had. And whereas you ask me whither away, I tell you, sir, I'm going to yonder wicket gate before me. For there, as I am informed, I shall be put into a way to get rid of my heavy burden. Hast thou wife and children? Christian said, yes, but I am so laden with this burden that I cannot take that pleasure in them as formerly. Methinks I am if I had none. Wilt thou hearken to me if I give thee counsel? If it be good, I will, said Christian, for I stand in need of good counsel. I would advise thee, then, that thou with all speed rid thyself of thy burden, for thou wilt never be settled in thy mind until then, nor canst thou enjoy the benefits of the blessing which God has bestowed upon thee till then. Well, that is what I seek, said Christian, even to be rid of this heavy burden. But get it off myself I cannot, nor is there a man in our country that can take it off my shoulders. Therefore I am going this way, as I told you, that I may be rid of my burden. World said, who bid thee go this way to be rid of the burden? Well, a man appeared to me to be a very great and honorable person. His name, as I remember, is Evangelist. Worldly Wise said, beshrew him for his counsel. There is not a more dangerous and troublesome way in the world than is that into which he hath directed thee. And that thou shalt find, if thou will be ruled by his counsel, thou hast met with something, as I perceive already, for I see the dirt of the sloth of a despond is upon thee. But that sloth is the beginning of the sorrows that do attend those who go on in that way. Hear me, I am older than you, that thou art like to meet with in the way which thou goest, wearisomeness, painfulness, hunger, perils, nakedness, swords, lions, dragons, darkness, and in a word, death, and what not. These things are certainly true, having been confirmed by many testimonies. And why should a man so carelessly cast away himself by giving heed to a stranger? Christian said, why, sir, this burden upon my back is more terrible to me than all these things which you have mentioned. Nay, methinks I care not that I meet with in the way, if so be I can also meet with deliverance from my burden. Worldly Wise said, how camest thou by thy burden at first? Christian said, by reading this book in my hand. I thought so. And it is happening unto thee as it happened to other weak men, who, meddling with things too high for them, do suddenly fall into thy distractions, which distractions do not only unman men, as thine, I perceive, have done thee, but they run them upon desperate ventures to obtain to know not what. Christian said, I know what I would obtain. It is ease from my heavy burden. Worldly wise said, but why will you seek ease this way, seeing so many dangers attend it? Especially since, hast thou but patience to hear me, I would direct thee to the obtaining of what thou desirest without the dangers that thou in this way will run thyself into. Yea, and the remedy is at hand. Besides, I will add that instead of these dangers, thou shalt meet with much safety, friendship, and content. Christian said, pray, sir, open the secret to me. Worldly wise said, why, in yonder village, the village is called Morality, there dwells a gentleman whose name is Legality, a very judicious man, and a man of a very good name, that has skill to help men off with such burdens as thine is from their shoulders. Yea, to my knowledge, he hath done a great deal of good this way. Aye, and besides, he has skills to cure those that are somewhat crazed in their wits with their burdens. To him, as I said, thou mayest go and be helped presently. His house is not quite a mile from this place, and if he should not be at home himself, he hath a pretty young man to his son, whose name is Civility, that can do it, speak on, as well as the old gentleman himself. Therefore, I say, thou mayest be eased of thy burden if thou art not minded to go back to thy former habitation, as indeed I would not wish thee. Thou mayest send for thy wife and children to thee in this village, and where there are houses now stand empty, one of which you mayest have for reasonable rates. Provision is there also cheap and good, and that which will make thy life the more happy is to be sure there thou shalt live by honest neighbors in credit and good fashion. Now was Christian somewhat at a stand, but presently he concluded, if this be true, which this gentleman hath said, my wisest course is to take his advice, and with that he thus further spoke. Sir, which is my way to this honest man's house? Do you see yonder high hill? Yes, very well. By that hill you must go, and the first house you come to is his. So Christian turned out of his way to go to Mr. Legality's house for help. Behold, when he got now hard by the hill, it seemed so high, and also that side of it that was next the wayside did hang over so much that Christian was afraid to venture further, lest the hill should fall on his head. Wherefore there he stood still, and he wot not what to do. Also his burden now seemed heavier to him than while he was in the way. There came also flashes of fire out of the hill that made Christian afraid that he should be burned. Here, therefore, he did sweat and quake for fear. And now he began to be sorry that he had taken Mr. Worldly Wiseman's counsel. And with that he saw Evangelist coming to meet him, at the sight also of whom he began to blush for shame. So Evangelist drew nearer and nearer, and coming up to him, he looked upon him with a severe and dreadful countenance, and thus began to reason with Christian. What doest thou here, Christian? Said he, at which words Christian knew not. He knew not what to answer. Wherefore at present he stood speechless before him. Then said Evangelist further, art thou not the man that I found crying without the walls of the city of destruction? Well, yes, dear sir, I am the man. Didn't I not direct thee the way to the little wicket gate? Oh, yes, dear sir, said Christian. How is it then that thou art so quickly turned aside? For thou art now out of the way. Well, I met a gentleman, so soon as I had got over the slough of despond, who persuaded me that I might in the village before me find a man that would take off my burden. What was he? Well, he looked like a gentleman, and talked much to me, and got me at last to yield, so I came hither. But when I beheld this hill, and now it hangs over the way, I suddenly made a stand, lest it should fall on my head. Evangelist said, what said that gentleman to you? Why, he asked me whether I was going, and I told him. And what said he then? He asked me if I had a family, and I told him. But I said, I am so loaden with a burden that is upon my back that I cannot take pleasure in them as formerly. And what said he then? Well, he bid me with speed to get rid of my burden, and I told him 'twas ease that I sought, and said, I am therefore going to yonder gate to receive further direction on how I may get to the place of deliverance. So he said that he would show me a better way, and short, not so attended with difficulties as the way, sir, that you set me in, which way, said he, will direct you to a gentleman's house that has skill to take off these burdens. So I believed him, and turned out of that way into this, if haply I might be soon eased of my burden. But when I came to this place and beheld things as they are, I stopped for fear, as I said, of danger. But I now know not what to do. Evangelist said, then stand a little, that I may show thee the words of God. So he stood trembling. Then said Evangelist, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. He said, moreover, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. He also did thus apply them. Thou art the man that art running into this misery. Thou hast begun to reject the counsel of the Most High, and to draw back thy foot from the way of peace, even almost to hazarding of thy perdition. Then Christian fell down at his foot as dead, crying, woe is me, for I am undone. At the sight of which Evangelist caught him by the right hand, saying, all manner sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. Be not faithless, but believing. Then did Christian again a little revive, and stood up trembling, as at first before Evangelist. Then Evangelist proceeded, saying, give more earnest heed to the things that I shall tell thee of. I will now show thee who it was that deluded thee, and who it was also to whom he sent thee. The man that met thee is one worldly wise man, and rightly is he so called, partly because he savoureth only the doctrine of this world. Therefore he always goes to the town of morality to church, and partly because he loveth that doctrine best, for it saveth him from the cross, because he is of this carnal temper, wherefore he seeketh to pervert my ways, though right. Now there are three things in this man's counsel that thou must utterly abhor. Number one, his turning thee out of the way. Number two, his laboring to render the cross odious to thee. Three, and his setting thy feet in that way that leadeth unto the administration of death.